Welcome back to another Block Studios. Here we go.
All right, let's do it.
What is up?
Dio.
Yo, Isaac. Hey. Nathan.
One thing that I saw, my initial impression of Glass XYZ, which is what we're talking about today, is one of the things I saw was that the video, it's like all about video. It's all about making videos and really high quality content and curating that on this really cool platform. And as a filmmaker myself, I really love that because it's so cool to like look at it. And it's like, oh yeah, this is what, and like one thing that I saw with the manifesto is that I got really excited because it was like, what's one video that's changed your life to make your life better? Because then I can think of like all these different videos that I watched when I was, say, like 13, and it was like this. It was like I would be on Vimeo, and I saw this really cool skateboarding movie when I was 13, and I was like, man, I just want to go out and like and film stuff and make it. You know, I wanted to kick us off with a bit of a warm up. What's one video that's changed your life?
One video that's changed my life. All right, there's like this one Will Smith like motivational video. I don't know if it's like a Will Smith motivational video, but it was like around 2014, 2013 when those motivational videos were going rogue on YouTube. And I used to just like every day on the bus to school, I used to live in Hell's Kitchen, New York City, and I used to take the bus all the way to Bay Ridge from Brooklyn. And on the bus, I would talk to my one friend, Mike, just about this motivational video every time because they just kill it. And it was the number one thing that motivated me to go to school. I was one of those kids that like didn't want to go to school, like entrepreneur at heart, just like a, you know, anti person. And so that motivational video just pushed me through. I don't know the name of it, to be honest, but the quality content was great.
I saw I think I was watching a couple of podcasts that you've done recently, which is, they were awesome. You were talking a little bit about, you spent a bit of time, I think maybe your parents like sent you to Nigeria for some study or something. That's pretty wild. Like just to get the head around that. I think your dad was a bit of an entrepreneur as well. Like what was the benefits that they saw in sending you there? Is there some sort of, I don't know, cultural thing that they wanted you to pick up there that you can't get in America, or like, what's the go with that?
It was super cultural. Like, so I was born in the south side of Chicago, and then I moved there when I was 6 years old to upstate New York in Albany. So like that's like a small suburb. And then when I was 12, we moved to New York City, but I got pretty much shipped to Lagos, Nigeria. And so I was in a boarding school, all boys, in like this dorm. And then, I mean, the school was, you know, multi-gender, but the boarding school was just boys. And so like I get to this British international school, right? I have an American accent, so mind you, it's as different as like an Australian going to New York, you know, with the accent. So it's so clear, you just know this person's not from here. And so I just had to adapt so quickly. And like that's when I, you know, kind of coined like that I'm a digital nomad, and that, you know, any place I am can be my home, and that it's all about just adapting to where you are. Like you either grow and adapt or you die. And so that's what it really taught me. And the way I adapted was I started playing soccer and I got really good at it. And that's a huge way to get the respect out there. And I played soccer and I studied, and I was, you know, focused on the books.
That's such an interesting like upbringing story, because we've had a few different digital nomads and they're like, Yeah, I just went to Spain and New Zealand and this, and it just sounds like it's just a fun lifestyle.
Life's a holiday when you're a digital nomad.
That's legit. I feel like it would have taught you a lot.
It did.
All right, so one thing that I picked up that was really cool in the manifesto, again, one of the biggest problems that you guys are kind of trying to solve, which is kind of the essence of what these projects are all about, because you have to kind of come at it from a business approach where you're solving a problem for a customer, right? Video like creators don't have a lot of control over the platforms that they upload to. So you got YouTube, you got TikTok. Those two platforms control and completely dictate the model, and the model is the ads model, right? So when you're making videos, a lot of creators these days really focus on the views and don't really focus on making something for the art of making it, right? And so one thing that I kind of wanted to know is, What do you think about, say, for example, the rise of Mr. Beast, where it's all manufactured? There's a huge amount of, like, he's got like, I don't know, 100 people working for him in this factory where he's making studios, where he's optimizing for clicks and he's optimizing thumbnails and he's changing and he's consistently, you know, testing thumbnails and he's got a factory building a Willy Wonka factory, for example, like just for one video.
Yeah.
And a Squid Games, you know, set for that.
Saw that.
And so, yeah, I was wondering kind of what you think about making videos for the art or making videos for kind of this manufactured ads model.
So I think the current model of creating videos treats creators as content machines, right? I mean, creators are, you know, often the ones I talk to, they're depressed after, you know, a month or two of just constantly making videos. And then eventually they realize, like, why am I doing this when 97% of YouTubers make less than the poverty line, you know? And, you know, the likely chances of you being able to continue creating videos and sustain on that is almost 0%. And so there's no real blue ocean. There's no opportunity for creators on TikTok. And so they go to YouTube. And then when they go to YouTube, 97% of those creators make less than the poverty line. And on TikTok, you know, you make what? You get 1,000 views, you'll make maybe, you know, 50 cents. On YouTube, 1,000 views, you'll make $2, right? If you get 100,000 views, you'll make $200 on YouTube. Whereas, you know, on Glass, you could get 200 views and make $5,000. And so I think when we look for things that like are important business use cases, like all we needed to do was just observe nature. And if you just go outside, every kid wants to be a video creator. Every person you see is like, it's either someone's wife hiring their husband to take a video or a photo for them. And so it's just, you just know video is entirely taking over the world. It's as influential as the printing press in the 1490s. And crypto is as influential as, you know, Western financial, you know, methods in the 1490s. And so I think you had these two different things come together at the perfect time, crypto and right, a new financial instruments and ways of financing things and a new medium. I think, of course, you know, the medium of video is probably more important than crypto, in the same way I think just the medium of printing and paper is more important than maybe you know, Western finance. But I think those two together are the perfect storm, and especially the iPhone and the ability that you guys here probably have $1,000 worth of videos on your camera roll, but you never thought of that like that. And it's like, now you can go directly to who is viewing it instead of how many views. If you want to sustain, of course you also want a lot of views, but we think in the end, you really want, you need to sustain, and you don't actually need a lot of views in the end. So it's more of like, we believe we're building something people will need and a public good. And that's why it's going to be the first community owned video network.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. Okay. So what you're saying is so true. Like, I guess the printing press was revolutionary because it's the communication of information. We realized that back in the day we could talk about stuff, but it's, as soon as we can write it down in a form that's like official, then, you know, education and language and I guess like civilization can continue iterating and continue getting better. And then that bandwidth increases when we add video. And there's also like the human element where it's like, we just love interaction with each other. If we can, like, our memories are so bad, if we can remember that and reminisce on feelings and smells and stuff through what we're watching and seeing, it's so powerful. And so I love what you're saying. Question is around, so maybe the creator side of it again. So we looked at your website, and so people can jump on and they can become a creator. There's like a type form to be filled out. What's some of the rationale behind that? Are you sort of just trying to curate and make sure that the early projects are culturally and kind of like genre-wise what you want Glass to be? And then also, like, what can they expect if they, you know, get on the platform? What's the interaction like between Glass and the project?
So first, Glass started with a live stream NFT. We realized that there was a secret that live streams are probably the number one way to make money fast in the information age. And we learned that some other people have learned that across the water. And we thought, wow, that's amazing. We just made $10,000 in 20 minutes on a live stream as a co-founder. So that was the first real video on Glass. And then after that, one of my friends, Jacob, connected me with this creator named Sayla Marley, and she dropped a music video NFT. She happened to be Bob Marley's granddaughter. And so I did think that that was, we did think that that was culturally relevant to how impactful of a moment this was, Lauryn Hill's daughter. And so we were like, wow, that Sayla, perfect person to go first with. Sayla happened to sell that music video NFT for 5 ETH. And that was like $25,000 at the time. And that's when we were like, okay, wow. And all during this process, we're just building out the product because we didn't want to start with a live stream. We wanted to start with video NFTs. And it just happened that it was hard to build at the time. Everybody was focused on images. And we were like, why is everybody focused on images when 80% of internet bandwidth is video? And so we were like, okay, we got to make video, but it's actually the hardest problem, right? You start to think about it and you're like, oh my gosh, these satellites are video companies. Tesla is a video company. TikTok's a video. Snapchat, what's really, right? And, right? And then you realize, oh my God, everybody is a video, right? And then you come to that realization and you're like, okay, this is clearly one of the hardest challenges globally, right? And so that's when we were like, okay, we had read the TikTok book and we knew how hard of a back end this problem was to get decentralized video to play, to have videos convert into NFTs on the Ethereum blockchain, and to also store those videos on Arweave permanently for decentralized storage. All of these things were building, right, and improving, right? Ethereum gas fees aren't necessarily there, right? Arweave is just, it's improving its storage capacities. And so we're fully in the infancy stage. And so that's why it's curated right now, because it's not possible to take in 300 million people who have cryptocurrency right now. It's not possible to take in, the whole world, even if we drop with Timlin and, thousands of people want that. It's not necessarily there from an Ethereum experience point, from an Arweave experience point. And so we just said, we gotta build this a little bit differently. This isn't like YouTube 05 or Facebook 04, where it's, move fast and break things. It's like we actually have to put some care and thought into who's dropping, because being on chain first matters a lot. And that's why we were like, let's curate and make sure we have as diverse a global foundation of the first 100 creators as possible. And I mean, we've only done 95 creators and made over millions in sales for these creators. And, these creators are just, it's all because of these supporters and people who believe in this idea of, creators being able to be supported by what they do and how well they perfect their craft. And so we wanted to start it off with honoring great creators. We kind of see ourselves like the Nike of Web3, and it's like music creators were the first creators, and Nike started at Oregon and with the runners, and then from the runners, they went to the football players, the basketball players, right, to all these sports. And we think, there's all these categories of video, of course, that the whole world knows, and music happened to be that first category. And so, we focus on, a lot of music video creators. But we also wanted to have, to sell a couple educational video NFTs. We also wanted to drop, podcast video NFT to just show where the future is about to go, but also maintain that focus in the same way Amazon maintained a focus on books before it was able to, go to videos and music, and that's what Amazon did. It did books, videos, music, next category, right? And so we think videos themselves have categories and niches within that. And all these creators who might be like, oh, I want to drop on Glass right now. It's like, we're trying to set it up so that you're the founder of your category, right? You're essentially starting off, whether it's extended reality or whether it's VR, AR videos on Glass, live streams, podcasts, right? We were talking about the, 10 podcast partners we have right now for this next Solana drop. It's like, that's what the hold off was for, so that we had that quality of experience that was better than YouTube, but also 10x, 100x better, right, from a monetization level. And also in terms of like a user experience level, it's like, you know, this is something like I could use daily. And so that's the reason for the exclusivity right now. But we're an entirely inclusive team. Like, we don't want to underestimate anybody in the world, because people underestimated us. And so I think, you know, underestimating people can never, ever benefit you. So we're always looking for any creator. And, you know, we had over 70,000 people on our OG waitlist. And, you know, right now on the video submission waitlist,
wow,
you know, we have, you know, a few thousand people there. And so we're, you know, we're grinding it out, you know, we're grinding it out, and it's a small team of six, but I think, you know, we're going to, you know, grow that out a little bit more and make sure that all the creators are getting on, and they're getting on with collectors ready to collect from them as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. So something that I saw there was that the factor of curation is really important. So the process is currently that there's a form, you fill out a form, you start with your creator name, your email, your Twitter, and you move on to the video file and the thumbnail, and then it goes to this draft status. So you can't actually release directly. It's not like YouTube where you just upload and then you go and it's just whatever. And then maybe some automated bot blocks it if it's really bad. But pretty much you can do whatever you want. And so it like it goes through this draft process where it's approved and curated. Will that process ever be some kind of automated process as you get bigger, or will it always be some niche curated thing where everything's handpicked and making sure that everything's really high quality?
There'll be a category that's just like Vevo, where it's super high quality music videos, you know, and, you know, someone from the community who's like, hey, I want to, you know, curate for the Vevo category, and I want to make sure that it's really, really high quality, and they have, you know, exemplary background of showing that they have access and can, you know, define what, you know, high quality videos look like, that person should go and lead that category. And so we want to merit it to the people who are best at what they do. In the long term, of course, we want it to be the size of YouTube. We think billions of people should be able to monetize transparently from people who want to support them, rather than monetizing and having no idea how it works on the back. That's, you know, one of the most important things, allowing for transparent monetization, allowing for transparent connections to what's going on, you know, in the organization. If you want to, you know, make an impact, and you've proven that you've been able to make an impact and you've brought people over, like, you should be able to make an impact. And so the curatorial things will probably last till the beginning of 2023, and then we'll find something new. We're moving from ETH to Solana just to increase the speed, right, and to lower the gas fees and to increase the transactions per second that people can make and make it more flexible, so we could build better tools faster for creators that help them do what they want. And, you know, some of these tools I'd like to tell you guys wrap, but I don't want to, you know, share too much. But the goal is, let's, you know, progressively decentralize. Let's get this to a place where this could be a community-owned network in 3 to 4 years, and where, you know, right after that, it's free to the people. In the same way Wikipedia, you know, Craigslist founder, you know, was at Craigslist from 94 to 97, 98, you know, and then, you know, he did customer support after that. And so it's like, that's how I see, you know, something I'm going to do, you know, and it's like, I'm, you know, supporting from the beginning to the end, and honoring great creators is what this is all about, as well as supporting creators. And so that's, you know, we're grateful we have a community right now, thousands of collectors, just around 100 creators, and everybody is super supportive of each other. And we just have to make sure that the product quality is sensational, and that the community is an engaged community that actually cares about each other and creators. And we see creators collecting from creators. We see VCs collecting from all types of things can happen. And so it's all going to happen due to the power of the community. And I think that's the most important thing, that community is the moat. And in the end, this is all about, like, just, you know, whether you're in Sydney, Australia, whether you're in Colombia, whether you're in Denmark, whether you're in Nigeria, South Africa, like all these creators we know, Jamaica, like that, it's all about the community and being real with each other and being here for the shared activity of video.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, on the point of community, we've chatted to a few artists in the last couple of weeks, and we've started, there's been a question that's come up a few times, because I think the answer is sometimes interesting. If we're speaking to an artist and we're talking about, this is an artist who's come from, you know, Web 2 world previously, and they've got, you know, they might have a significant fan base who have no idea what Web 3, crypto, NFTs, any of that stuff is, and maybe don't even care. But they're a fan of the artist. And so we've talked about the concept of like, how much effort are you putting in trying to onboard and help those existing fans or community members come and be a part of this new Web3 community versus accepting the fact that maybe this is in fact just a new community. When you're advising or when you're chatting to these projects that are coming onto Glass, like what's your response to that dichotomy?
So it's a new market. It's when you're creating a new market, people don't know what to do, right? And so it's like, oh, you know, most people don't see new market getting created in front of them. Like when, you know, Apple dropped podcasting, it's like that was a new market, but like people didn't, you know exactly what to do in the beginning. So I would say we believe onboarding and educating creators is the most important thing anyone could be doing this year. Like that is like educating people on why crypto versus US dollar. Although, yes, we'll probably allow for, you know, the dollar, you know, for people to buy NFTs like that. Like on NBA Top Shot, we still actually believe that crypto is fundamentally important for enabling creators to actually, you know, because there's inflation, there's a bunch of other macro factors just around like nation states, you know, some things that like just global shifts. And I would say teaching people why they should get crypto to support that creator is a process that is not easy. And that's one of the biggest barriers to the entire space. Like I think a lot, like we had a startup before this and people didn't even want to download an app, you know, and right now it's like to get them to download Coinbase, to go to this, to go to that. Personally, for me, I hate all the steps. And so
yeah,
we believe in simple products. We believe in simple experiences that are just like super memorable and super like, yeah, that was a nice vibe, you know? And so crypto's not there yet, but I think in the next 3 to 4 years, you know, we will, you know, with people like me building it, my co-founder Sam, Faroon, like these are very real people that understand simplicity, user experience matters so much, and that any friction in your buying experience is going to kill it. Like Amazon knew, Bezos knew that one click checkout was needed. We need that here. And we're not going to stop until we make the cleanest one click, you know, check out. And so we're just lucky that, you know, in the same way YouTube is probably the top three most influential networks of Web 2, we think we're in a market that's going to be the top three most influential of Web 3. And so we, by leading and being super focused on the user experience and simplicity and trying to get crypto from, you know, the 4 million collectors who might be at right now to, you know, the next 30 million, then to the next 100 million, this is the next 500 million. Those are going to take totally new products at each stage. And so right now, the current Glass you're seeing, we're already going to be off that maybe by the time this podcast is done. So, I mean, we're moving at a rapid clip and we're moving towards simple. And that will always be the guidepost. Simply monetize your videos transparently to communities that want them. And that's what we'll always be doing, and we'll always 10x that and 100x that compared to any video you could put anywhere else, right? And so highest earning video platform per video, highest dollar per view, that's what we believe in, whether it's a film, vlog, you know, video book, you know, podcast, music, you know, whatever type of creativity people want to bring. And that's the other thing. You need collectors. You need people who see the vision. Like, the collectors are creators. And I think that's the most important thing to remember, that collectors are creators. They're going to create their own video museum of all the NFTs they have. And if you have XYZ NFT, you might be able to get into that. And so it's like, it's a whole new digital world. And as this new Homelander generation grows up and they're used to a video first world, Glass is going to be sitting there perfectly situated in the same way Zoom was, you know, from 2012. And finally in 2020, Zoom had its moment. You know, it's like, you know, we're not going to be a Skype moment, because it's all about focusing on simplicity of product in the same way it's, you know, about focusing, you know, like Calendly. That's a simple tool, you know, made by a fellow Nigerian founder. And I think if you can get these simple tools going out into the world, you know, we're seeing a whole new wave here.
It was so funny in early 2020 when Zoom started going crazy, and Zoom, the audio recording, different thing, which is a microphone company.
Oh, yes.
The Zoom stock Technologies. Went crazy. Yeah, Zoom Technologies is the microphone company.
Yeah.
And because they had such that? A small, there was such a small.
I didn't know. I thought I literally, because I've seen a Zoom podcast, Mike. I literally thought they were like the same company at some point, I feel like.
Yeah, there's two companies. It's wild. Two companies, and they're both public.
Yeah, and the New York Stock Exchange had to delist the microphone company because they were like, "Oh, this is confusing for people."
Yeah, like, that's a good point. Like, I mean, like, the reality is, like, humans, like, that type of mistake where you're seeing Zoom and you're buying another Zoom stock, like, that's bound to happen in crypto. And so, like, crypto, it's gonna make a lot of the same financial mistakes that, you know, JP Morgan in the 1970s, Bank of America, you know, all these OG mistakes that all these banks made, those are happening again, right? And it's tricky. Like, I believe in a hybrid approach in the end. Like, I think the distributed way of life, you know, certain, almost like a hub and spoke method where you have certain leaders who can help people, you know, that might be the best thing, where it's like, you know, it's like, oh, hub and spoke per category, or hub and spoke with a creator. And so I think, you know, in the end, we'll probably end up in this mesh, you know, between a centralized, decentralized world. And, you know, we think we can position ourselves really well there, being focused on video NFTs and the decentralized world.
Yeah, I actually have a follow on from that. So with verifying what Zoom is, which Zoom, I wanted to talk about on your platform. So there's the form process that you go through. You put in your Twitter. You put in all this stuff. Is there any way to actually verify that users are actually who they say they are, and they're not just, say, uploading someone else's work that they've found on YouTube, putting it there? They could change their Twitter handle to look like that person. I don't know. Is there any actual?
So Twitter is like low key the modern form of verification. Like, that's why having a Twitter is so important. And then after that, I would say, like, yes, like, people, you know, like, the idea of putting up other people's content is something that's so viral on YouTube and any other social network ever. That will always be a problem. And how we solve it, you know, we'll use, you know, methods of solving that might work, where it's like, let's verify that this person's Twitter links with that content, or let's verify that let's have this person check off that this person is the rightful owner to this content, which we have them check off at the end of the type form. And then the reality is, we meet with the creator and we talk with the creator before they drop on Glass. So, like, you know, like, let's say, like, Timlin, for example, right? He submitted the video and did the type form, and, you know, we reach out to them and we said, yeah, let's hop on a call, Zoom call. From that Zoom, right, we hopped on another call to discuss the rollout, right? We do a Twitter Spaces at 5 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the video premiere 5:30 p.m. Eastern, or like 6 p.m. Eastern, depends on, you know, what the community is really available for, you know, because it's like, right now it's like, you got a lot of people in the community have full-time jobs in Web2, you know, and like, they're trying to get to Web3. And so after that, you know, rollout call, they're prepared for that drop. We'll have like a creator template, you know, with some cool images for promotional tools. So we'll help them do the Web3 marketing. We'll help them give the educational tools to their community. And to potential collectors, we'll like write down the steps, get this, get the MetaMask, get this. And the fact that we've even gotten over a million in sales is what makes this promising. Like, it's like the experience 100%. Sucks. The experience is terrible. And when we're so early and, you know, getting a MetaMask, you know, that experience is like, you know, all this, it's like, that's when you're on some good stuff. Like, people, like, who's ever sitting around when it's like this, just know, like, some of those people who were working like late night weekends and stuff, hopping on these spaces, like, they're gonna really go crazy in life. Like, they're gonna really like succeed in creating the new world, right? Whereas everyone's out partying, thinking that their current 9-to-5 world is gonna be the next world, and those people who are working 5-to-9 are looking to the next world. That next world is gonna become the new 9-to-5, and then it's gonna keep going. And so it's that constant loop of staying ahead. And that's what we, you know, us at Glass always will always be ahead, and we'll always be focusing on those technologies that are going from spring to summer. We never want to be too far ahead. We've done that before. And so it's like, you always want to just be a couple, like, you know, a step ahead, right? And then you execute there, and then you figure out where's next in the dark, and you go there. And it's like, yeah, we're moving in the dark for sure, being the category leading of video NFTs, right? It's like, no one focuses on video NFTs and music video NFTs, podcast video NFTs, educational video NFTs, gaming video. Like, no one else is doing this. And so functionally, we want to totally excel from a functional level, and then convenience, reliability, and then, you know, price. Of course, you know, we want the price, the take rate to be low, you know.
That's cool. That's really interesting. And I mean, I think like right now is a good example of it. Like, it must be getting towards 8 o'clock on like a Friday night right there. Where you are, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's 7:53.
Right? And you're like chatting to us.
We got 7 minutes until 8.
So like, I mean, this is proof right here. Yes. This is the life you live right now in this season.
Truth.
For better things. And so appreciate it. A question as we wrap, maybe it's slightly off topic, but I noticed that you had it on your Twitter and I wanted to ask because it's really interesting. There's a link that you've got on your Twitter to Empire DAO. Is that something that you're a part of? Do you use that like work sharing space? Could you just tell us what it is? I just don't know what it is. It looks really interesting.
Empire DAO is probably one of the coolest things that's ever happened IRL in New York City ever. It's almost the modern Silicon Valley of New York City at one physical location. It's almost hard to describe how nuts Empire DAO is, because it's like literally something I've never experienced. So that's where the Glass offices are, and that's on top of the Supreme store on 190 Bowery. On top of the Supreme store. So
that's cool.
We always get a visual of like, okay, how does Supreme do their job? So it's so like you're seeing what people are doing in the real world, and you like, I should just go upstairs and just put that into the digital world. And then it was previously this photographer, Jay Mazel. It's actually a show on Netflix, The Building. And a photographer used to live in the building and like just did the most crazy things in there. And it's like 5 floors, amazing roof. And we got some things in the store there, recording studios, created just so much stuff's going on. Like, we're producing unreal amounts of content coming out of Empire DAO every day. And it's like behind the scenes content. It's the Solana teams in there, Magic Eden teams. It's a multi-chain building. It's just, we believe in the multi-chain thesis. You know, we're on ETH, we'll be on Solana. You know, who knows where we'll be next? Avalanche, Dapper, credit card, who knows? And so it's Empire DAO nuts. Like, you guys should, you know, try to link up with a multi-chain mic.
I know you can do day passes. I think it's maybe like $55 a day or something. You can get a desk. I assume being there long-term, is that more like you contribute to the DAO and you get access, or is it just like a subscription base? Like, how does the mechanics of that work?
DAO is just a marketing tool. DAO, like, I don't know. I don't know what a DAO is. And it's like,
okay,
like a DAO, I don't know what that is. It's like, I know what a network is, and it's a network. And I think the most important thing to remember in the information age is everything is about networks. So I think it's the greatest network that's ever been invented in New York City for Web3 communities. And it's the first one to do that. And the building space is sick. Wow. And the people that come in are awesome. Like the type of stuff we have coming out of that, we have full shows. Like we have people's favorite comedians coming out of that. We have people's favorite musicians coming out of that. We have people's favorite builders, founders of entire blockchains. Like the Solana phone, people were walking around that, showing that, you know? And so it's just, it really is that place for builders who want to build in a awesome city around other builders, and everybody in the building is like a potential resource. So it's like, it's literally such a competitive advantage when like you could just walk downstairs and talk to, you know, Solana, Polygon, or whoever you need to connect with instead of DM them. And so it's just,
bro, that's wild.
IRL, I believe in IRL. I've always been bullish IRL, but video, the reason we love video too is like the best videos are caught IRL. Like it's a super travel-y experience. Like you have to go out and get the video, you know? It's perfect. Like we're really happy that this is what we found, because we tried for a long time to make something that a lot of people loved and that was a super valuable thing for people. And we went from like this map product to video, realizing maps were a subset of video. And, you know, now I think we're about to start to, you know, find the flow and find a process that's going to start to escalate us even crazier than what we've been doing.
Amazing. Have you ever been to a cafe called Two Hands? It's probably like a 10 or 15 minute walk from where your office is. It's an Australian cafe. It's so good. And it's legit Australian. Like the coffee there is Australian. The food there is Australian. So get on that. That's a bit of Australian culture for you.
I like that. And we love Australia. Like our community, we have a bunch of people from Australia. Like Brooks. You guys know Brooks?
No.
Brooks? We should. Yo, Brooks. Like Brooks is one of the coolest people I've ever met. And Brooks is, she's in Web3. She just performed at like Brooklyn Mirage. And Brooks, you know, I think one of the first Australian creators to drop on Glass. And it actually was just a JPEG with audio. So she was the first to do like a purely music NFT, but on Glass, where it's like, it's not really
on a video platform,
right? And so Brooks, Brooks next level, like, and they did that with Echo DAO, which is like all the NFTs that were bought there are essentially being donated to, you know, plant trees in the ground and support the ecosystem and be environmentally friendly. So like, once again, NFTs are a vehicle to connect with people, to get access to experiences you never had, to explore the world and to pay someone for them being them, or for a potential future connection, or for if you see value and it might be able to, you know, make money, you might find an arbitrage experience where it's like, oh, this is way underpriced. And it takes time. Like it's like CryptoPunks rising. Like when people originally bought CryptoPunks, they probably thought it was the dumbest buy they did, right? Some people, you know, bought pizza with their Bitcoin and they were like, this is such a waste, right? And,
one famous guy.
Right?
13,000 Bitcoin.
Exactly. Exactly. So right now everyone's like, yo, like there's no, like, why would I ever buy this video NFT? Like, what do I get? Da, 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 da. And it's like, well, anybody who has a Glass NFT is free to come to Empire DAO whenever they want, right? Anybody who has a Glass NFT, when we do the Glass Festival, you know, they're going to be there, right? Anybody, you know, so, and that's from Glass, not just the creator like Marky Bassey, who allows a collector to go backstage with them at, you know, a real life concert. So we've had these experiences, right, where it's like you can collect it and next thing you know, it's a bargain because you're backstage now all of a sudden with the creator, and the creator FaceTimes you and happens to have a billion streams on Spotify, and it, you know, and so you never really know. And I think NFTs are all about experiences, and I think experiences are the most valuable currency. And so at Glass, we care about providing awesome experiences, and I think creators care about experiences. And so buying one NFT from one creator gives you access to potential Glass experience and creator experience, and you can even negotiate with the creator. And so it's like, it puts so much back into the power of the viewer, the power of the observer, and it also puts so much back into the power of the creator, because now this person can create an army behind them of loyal supporters, and all you have to do is bring that army to 1,000 people and have them all have $100 to collect one of your videos, and you made $100,000. And so that's where we're going to by 2025.
That's great. All right. So we've got glass.xyz. If you love video, if you love music, if you love creating art, if you love seeing where Web3 is going, you should definitely check that out. What else do you want to pump? Do you want to hit people to hit up the Twitter? Where do you want to send everyone?
Yeah. So follow us at Glass Protocol on Twitter. That's GLASS, 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 PROTOCOL. Glass Protocol.
We'll put the links in the description too. Makes it a bit easier for everyone.
At Glass Protocol. And then you can follow me at Dio Adiosun 10, at DayoAdiosun 10 on Twitter. You can follow Sam Sins, my other co-founder, or Vern Iyer, you know, if you want to connect with the back end or the front end. Yeah, like DM us on Twitter, hop into the Glass Discord. You can find that Discord link on the Twitter. And yeah, we're gonna keep building, you know, through this bear market and just keep building.
Great. Amazing. Excellent. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.